of the knowledge. We have to stop feeding off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, there's good on the internet, but there's a lot of deception. And we as a people, mankind has always hungered and thirsted for knowledge. But the only knowledge we have need of is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So instead of feeding off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, let us feed off of Christ. Amen. Feed off his word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Lord, we do pray that you sharpen each and every one of us our discernment, that we would be razor sharp, Lord, to be able to pick off right at that moment, hey, this is the enemy, this is not God. And so I'm asking for that discernment, Lord, to be in me and in your people. Hallelujah, that we would not be deceived. No matter what, no matter how good it sounds, no matter how much it touches our emotions, God, we stand only in you, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we're asking that you do not let us be deceived, Lord. We're asking for a preciseness, an exactness, Lord, a sharpness in the spirit to be able to discern every spirit that wants to come to try to trip us up, Lord. We trust you, Jesus, and we look to you. Our lives are in your hands, and we look to you, Lord, to keep us and sustain us. And we, like you said, Lord, be still, for you are God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, speaking of miracles, speaking of a genuine miracle recorded in the book of Acts, let's look at that one. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, and we'll read it and then we're going to come back to it again. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, let's look at this miracle at midnight, this miracle that seemed to come about because they were praising and singing and rejoicing in their circumstances, and see how they got into that position. What happened that brought them into this prison, and there was an earthquake, and they got released. So, we'll start back in the 13th chapter of Acts. We're just going to look at the circumstances that brought them to Philippi, to this prison. Chapter 13, and in verse 1, we see Barnabas and Saul are in a place called Antioch. Now, this is there's apparently two Antiochs in these chapters, another Antioch in a different location, but this is the main Antioch where the Gentile church was being formed. It's more than 100 miles north of Jerusalem, maybe 150, I'm not sure. Looked like about that on the map. And it says here, now there were in the church, this is the church now at Antioch, the Gentile church mainly, some Jewish people among them, but mainly a Gentile community. It says, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. All right, so in this church were prophets and teachers. The fivefold ministry was quite active here. As Barnabas now apparently was a prophet or a teacher, okay, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger. Now this Simon, I have to believe he was an African man. I don't know how he got there. I don't know what his background is. But the Simon that was called Niger, now the word Niger in many languages mean black. So he was a black man, possibly somewhere from Africa, that was in this group, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, so he came from a king's house, and so they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now they're ministering to the Lord. Amen. Isn't this basically what we should be doing when we gather, ministering to the Lord and fasted? The Holy Ghost. Amen. So the these people believe in the hearing the word from the Holy Ghost. Amen. You might say, well, they're Pentecostal type of people. Amen. Fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the word of the prophetic word was active, alive, and working in the early church. Separate unto me. Okay. And when they had fasted and prayed, well, they'd already fasted and prayed. Now they're fasting and praying some more over this word. Amen. And laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So this early church also believed in the laying on of the hands, in the calling forth of the ministry. Okay. And prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Okay, now this is you know where Antioch is. You just go north on the Mediterranean, north from Jerusalem. If you went south from that point down the Mediterranean, as far as you could go south, you'd end up down in Egypt. You go north about the same distance, you come to Antioch. So what they're doing now is they're getting on a ship and they're sailing west, and they come to the island of Cyprus. They're, it seems like they're not really sure where they're to go. So let's fast forward here a little bit, and we'll just they have an encounter with a sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus. Bar Jesus, interesting word. It means son of Jesus, but not necessarily a Jesus. You know, the word Jesus actually in the Hebrew would have been Yeshua, and we would pronounce that Joshua. Okay, Jesus had the same name as Joshua, by the way. All right, so he's a false prophet, he's a sorcerer, and let's see what happened to him. Saul, who is now called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now here's deception that is being corrected. Apparently he was deceiving the people, and they thought he was really something. Paul called it out. He said, this is of the devil. And he rebuked the man very, very thoroughly. And it says, a deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, okay, now they're going somewhere else, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returning to Jerusalem. Now this John happened to be a young fella named John Mark, okay? And he's actually the one that's believed to be the one that wrote the book of Mark. He must have been quite young and quite immature and not very strong in the faith. He did not apparently believe. Apparently things were pretty rough out there for him. And he said, I'm going home. I've had enough of this missionary stuff.
Go get the puppy. You should go get the puppy and bring her inside.
Amen. Hold on, Larry. You're mute. There we go. Okay. So we're just putting a little background here. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch of Pisidia. So they're coming to the other Antioch now. You can go look at the map in the back of your Bible of Paul's missionary journey. You can see the stops that he made. They're mainly traveling by boat, coming to another point of the northern Mediterranean here. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And they sat down and they began reading the law and prophets, and the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word or exhortation for the people, go ahead and talk. So they get up and they give them the whole history, starting in Egypt, bringing them out of Egypt, the word of prophecy, and bringing it up to the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. From Antioch of Pisidia. Now, it turns out that they got kicked out of this place. Let me bring you down here to... I'm trying to find the right verse here. Well, we'll just start in verse 44. Now the next Sabbath, so they're meeting in synagogues, so they're gathering on the Sabbath because it's still a Jewish community. That's when they meet. So that's the opportunity that they're taking. And the next Sabbath, verse 44, came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against these things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, the Jews in the synagogue, this is the you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So, in the beginning of this missionary trip, Paul is trying to keep it to the Jews. There was still a strong belief that salvation was of the Jews. It should stick with the Jews, it started with the Jews, and it will probably end with the Jews. That was kind of their thinking. And we're not sure whether we want to open this thing up to Gentiles, to people like us. I think most of us are born in the natural Gentiles. I don't think any of us are Jewish, are we? Well, it doesn't matter. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Anyway, said, so now we're going to turn to the Gentiles. Now remember, the whole half, most of the city is there at that synagogue that day. Okay? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, where is he quoting from? Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 46. Okay, now, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Oh, wow, we get to partake of salvation. It's not just going to be for these Jewish people. And I would have been glad, too, if I had been there that day. Okay, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So we've got a lot of believers starting now that are Gentiles. And the word of the Lord was published throughout the region, so they're having really good success here. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Now, I don't know how they did this, but they made it clear that they weren't welcome. It didn't say whether they beat them up or what, but they made sure that they got on the next boat and they were out of there. Okay. Now, so we have them being expelled from this Antioch. Okay. Now, let's fast forward a little bit in the next chapter. And they come down now to some other places that I don't know really much about them. Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. So let's start in chapter 14 here. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together unto the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of Gentiles and also Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. All right, so we have a riot again. Now, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there was a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, in other words, he couldn't walk, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, we don't know that Paul was preaching a healing message. He was just preaching the power of Jesus Christ. And here's a man who had never walked, and he's listening to this, and he's thinking, hey, you know, I think I can get some of that power. I think I can get some of that dunamis that Jim was talking about. So, yes, I mean, talking about this story about this Persian general, God is able to do that. God is able, whatever his wounds and however he was broken up, if it is indeed true, here is the power of God, and here's a miracle where it actually happened. And said in a loud voice, stand upon thy feet. And he leaped and walked. This is something. I mean, I want to see this happen in my eyes. I want to participate in something like this. Come on, brethren, don't tell me you don't want to see that too. I want to see a totally crippled person. Speak to them. Come on, get up on your feet and walk. And the man leaps right up. Just like that. You know, the doctors tell you there's a certain way a baby learns to walk. And I don't know if they still do this, but in therapy, in physical therapy, if they want to teach somebody how to walk, they go through a certain process. And you know, first he has to learn to roll over, and then he has to learn to crawl, and then he, come on, this man never learned these techniques of physical therapy. He just got right up on his feet and walked. That was it. All right. So, what happened after this? And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." So they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury. Now let me see, that's got some other names. Zeus and Hermes. So, all right, these are gods now. They're being deified. One place they want to stone them and kill them. The next place they want to say, well, they're gods. Oh, they can have anything they want. They're gods. So we're just kind of summarizing how did they come to this place in the prison? All right. Come down to verse 19 now, and in chapter 14. They've come to another place. Now, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. All right. There came certain Jews from Antioch. Now, this is the original Antioch, the place where the Gentile church was. There's some Jews that came from there, and they are determined they're going to put an end to this thing. We need to go back to the Moses. We need to go back to the law. And this whole thing about Jesus, we need to squash it out. So certain Jews that have made that their mission, they'll travel anywhere in the world to put a stop to this thing. So they've come over now where Paul and Barnabas are, Lyconia, I think it is, and from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, where is it in the gospel that Paul said that he was out of his body? Do you remember where that verse is? I should have looked that up. Whether in the body or out of the body.
2 Corinthians 11. Is it? Or
What was
12?
the, I'm sorry, what was the,
2 Corinthians, that 11 or 12.
all right, let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 11 or 12. Oh, I've gone too far. 2 Corinthians, so I've got 2 Corinthians 11 or 12. Okay, here it is. Here it is. It's 12, and it's I'll start in the beginning. Is it not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory? I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Now, what Paul is writing here in Corinthians is apparently 14 years later. I believe this is where it happened. Okay. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Paul must have had an out-of-body experience here in Acts, what we're talking about. Paul knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now, I don't know why they use that language. Why didn't he just come out and say, well, this is what happened to me? I believe it was Paul, caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So, yes, I like hearing people that have had this experience. I'd like to hear it. You know, I mean, what little bit I've experienced, you know, Janet telling me what happened to her. She went out of her body. And I know that even the day she died, before her soul went to heaven, she went over to visit Brother Campbell, which itself is a miracle. You know, Janet could not find her way out of a paper bag. She was totally not good with directions. She, you know, north, south, east, west, she'd get lost. But miraculously, and Brother Campbell testified of that at her funeral. So, yes, out of the body, Paul had this experience. Now, they stoned him, okay? They stoned him, and howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, this verse 20 of chapter 14, stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now, that alone is a miracle. I believe the man was dead. Physically, his body was dead, his soul left, went to paradise, went into the third heaven, heard things that he can't even talk about, he said, all right? He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. All right, so we're not welcome here, obviously. I'm going to leave for now, maybe come back later, all right? Now, just a couple more things. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Brethren, how do we enter into the kingdom of God?
Much tribulation.
Much. I was hoping with maybe just a little. You know, I remember, I think I was about 40. And I said to the Lord, I was going through much tribulation. I really was. And I remember saying to the Lord, I did a lot of praying. I remember saying to the Lord, look, why don't you just tell me what you want me to do? I mean, if you want me to be patient, just say, be more patient, son. Why do you have to do this? Tribulation worketh what? What was that song we were singing, Rita? Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed. Well, can't you just tell me and I'll do it? No, you have to experience it. Because if I just tell you, you'll be just trying to do it. No, I have to change you by these experiences. So anyway, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. Well, to make the story shorter, they came back to Antioch, which was considered now their home. Now, they came back telling, in Antioch, there were a lot of Jews there. The word was, well, actually, they came back all the way back to Jerusalem and gave their report back there, too. Now, should the Gentiles be considered part of the church? Should the ministry be shared among the Gentiles, or are the apostles just Jewish folks? Now let's come down to chapter 15, and we'll put we'll start at the verse 8, I guess. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. All right, so they're having a discussion now in Jerusalem. Peter has given his word to the rest of the apostles, how the Lord sent him to Cornelius, and how the Cornelius house church received the Holy Ghost, how they spoke in tongues, and were, after they got the Holy Ghost, that they were baptized in water. Peter is giving them the word. This was definitely the Lord. I've shared this with you before. Gentiles are supposed to be, God opened the door for them. So now, therefore, this is the word they're giving to their Jewish brethren here in Jerusalem. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We're talking about the law. Come on, brethren. We could not bear that yoke. We couldn't keep the law. I mean, the blood of Jesus has got something better, a better covenant for us. Why are we going to go out and make proselytes now and put bondage on them? All right? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now that they, we're talking about people with our background. Amen? Now, let me go on here. So Paul and Barnabas now are giving them the story of what happened on their first missionary trip. Okay? We'll start in verse 13 again here a little bit. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken to me. Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this. Now, James knew the Old Testament pretty well, didn't he? He's just quoting it. He says, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up. What's the tabernacle of David? What's all that about? What was David's tabernacle? This is before the temple was built. This is when, remember, when they brought the ark, when they brought the ark out of the priest's house, and David said, let's bring it back to Jerusalem. Now, there was no temple. The rest of the tabernacle was in another city, all right? But they brought the ark, And David set up a tent, we'll say in his yard, his backyard, I don't know where. But David went into that tabernacle when he wanted to seek the wisdom of God, when he wanted a word from God, and didn't always get the word from a prophet. He went in there and said, Lord, shall we do this? Lord, shall we do that? Now, that was not law. Only the high priest was supposed to come before the ark. But David went in there. A different tabernacle, wasn't it? The tabernacle of David, any man can come before the face of the Lord and seek counsel of the Lord. Now, that tabernacle had fallen down because they built a temple, and now only the priest could go in there again once a year. No more David going in anytime he wanted. Known of God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Therefore, my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. We're not going to burden them with the law. Amen? But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from, we should say, eating blood. I'm sorry. Amen. Now, so they're going to send an official letter now. Verse 22, and then please it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch. Now they're coming from Jerusalem up to Antioch. We're going to settle this question about whether the Gentiles need to keep the law, all right, to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Men with a calling, men with a ministry, men with gifts. Amen. And they wrote letters by them in this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, forasmuch as we have heard that certain men went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised. Oh, there's another law that you don't have to keep. Amen. And keep the law, to which we gave no such commandment. I mean, this didn't come from us. Amen. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. Now, we're all in agreement on this. We've got the Holy Ghost, the witness, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who also shall tell you the things by my mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. From that, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare thee well. There's your list of laws. Amen. So, when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered in the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. In other words, this letter. To which, when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, all right, so Silas is a prophet, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. In other words, Silas isn't going back to Jerusalem. He said, I believe the Lord sent me here, up here to Antioch. I'm not sure why, but I'm here in Antioch, and let's find out why the Lord sent me here. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Oh, what's coming? Trouble. Trouble is coming. Now, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit the brethren in every city where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. See how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Well, let's take this young fellow with us again. Barnabas and Mark were, you know, it sounds like Barnabas was kind of like a father to John Mark. He wanted to take Mark with him again. Well, wait a minute. Mark jumped ship. He left. He didn't stay with us. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Come on, Mark. We don't want to take him again. He's no good. He jumped ship. He left us. What good is he? And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Well, what do you think, brethren? We got a problem here in the church. We've got some division here. Paul and Barnabas are not in agreement, and they're going separate ways. Is this of God? Can God use this? Can God still use this situation? I mean, is one right and the other wrong? What's happening? So here we go. The first thing now is Paul is going on another missionary journey, and it didn't have a very good start, did it? It started with a quarrel. Now, Barnabas was a genuine minister of God. Paul, a genuine minister. What did it say about Barnabas? Did it say he was a prophet? Not sure.
Yes, he's called a prophet.
Okay, so a prophet
and an apostle. And he's called an apostle, too.
Yeah. Well, he's an apostle because he's out traveling in an apostolic manner, okay? So a problem between a couple of the ministers of the fivefold ministry. Big disagreement. They're going their separate ways. So now let's come into the 16th chapter and read a little bit here. Then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Timotheus, it says here, but it's Timothy. The son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and a believer, but his father was a Greek. So he has a Gentile father and a Jewish mother. But they call him a certain disciple. Isn't that what they call it? A certain disciple, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. So his mother has a good reputation. His father is a Greek, but Timothy has a good reputation. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. In other words, Paul wants to take this young man and teach him some missionary work. He's a good boy. He's a good young man. I want him to go with us. So John Mark wasn't going to be with us. Paul didn't think he was ready for training yet, but he thinks Timothy is ready to be trained. Okay? Paul would have him go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. Well, I thought they just agreed that they didn't have to be circumcised. Now, you see, Paul is wavering here a little bit. He's got all these Jews. What are you doing with this Greek boy? He's not even circumcised. He's not one of us. So Paul said, well, okay, go ahead. You know, it's funny. When Titus went down to Jerusalem, wasn't it Titus went down to Jerusalem? Paul said, no. Don't bother. Don't get circumcised. They can get used to it now. We're going to have some real Gentiles among us now. All right. And him would Paul have to go forth with him and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles. In other words, they took that letter with them, ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to see daily increase in our fellowships and in the churches and in the true word of God? Wouldn't that be nice? Brethren, I believe we're going to see that when we come into these end times. Tribulation is going to drive a lot of people. I mean real tribulation. Not just the higher price of gas. That tribulation isn't sufficient to do it. But real tribulation is going to drive people to looking for the truth. Amen. All right, now, the Macedonia call. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, if you look on a map, that's kind of, they're going inland now to, I guess we would call it Asia Minor, term we don't use anymore. They're going up north now from where they landed on the shore. Most of this travel here is among the northeastern coast of the Mediterranean, okay? And they're doing it mostly by ship, mostly one city to another along the coast there, okay? They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, they're in Asia. Asia Minor. The Holy Ghost is saying no. What is this? I thought we were just laid the hands on us, sent out, go wherever you want to go. No, the Holy Ghost. How did they perceive the Holy Ghost was saying, no, don't go up there to Galatia yet. Don't go here. Don't go there. So, tell me what's happening. How were they getting the check of the Holy Spirit? I'll use the check. Forbidden. They're traveling along. There's at least three. Oh, and Luke is with them, by the way. So there's at least four. There's Paul and Silas and young Timothy and Luke. Somebody is saying, there's something wrong here, brethren. We were going to go up there to Galatia. The Lord is saying, no. I don't have a good witness about that. It just doesn't feel right. All right, let's go down to the other place. And they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. All right, they can't go north. They can't go south. And as they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, south. But the Spirit suffered them. No, this isn't right either. Come on, we're trying to go north. The Lord says no. We're trying to go south. The Lord says no. What are we doing here? Where are we supposed to go? And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So they're coming down toward the shore now, toward the coast. And a vision appeared to Saul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia. I looked it up on the map. There's a little water. They could have done it all by going around land. But straight across, over on the other side, is a big region called Macedonia. It isn't a city, it's a region. How did Paul know that the man was from Macedonia? It doesn't say the man said, hey, I'm from Macedonia. Well, yes, it does. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed them, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. So the man announced, I'm from Macedonia. Come on over here. We need somebody. This is a vision at night. Now, could it be a dream? Can God give directions through a night vision or a dream? Come on, any of you ever have the direction of the Lord from a dream? Well, I have. That's why I'm here in the North Country. We got a dream when we were over in the Czech Republic. And the dream was I was on a bus. And the bus was here in Lewis County. I don't know where. I just knew in my heart it was Lewis County. And we got off the bus, and we went into a building, and the rest of that part of the dream has been fulfilled. We came here, but the rest of the dream has not yet been fulfilled. So, yes, I took the dream as the word of the Lord, that we were to leave up there where we were on in Montgomery County, Schenectady area, and come up here. And it worked out. And the doors were opened up. We didn't have to push to open doors. It just all the details were taken care of. All right. So they're doing all this. Now they're taking the direction on a vision that Paul had of a man saying, come over here to Macedonia. All right. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, this is Luke writing the story now, Luke is saying we. That means we agreed with Paul's vision, night vision, dream. We agreed. Silas agrees. Luke agrees. Young Timothy agrees. I don't know who else might have been with them, but they said, we're in agreement. This is the Holy Spirit. And they had a good witness about it. Now, they didn't have that check that said, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. No, don't go there. The Holy Ghost was saying, no. Well, they prayed, Lord, well, where are we supposed to go? And they got direction from the night vision that was given to Paul. I would say that Paul could be considered sort of the leader of this little group, okay? And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. So they came over. Now Philippi is one of the cities of Macedonia. You don't have to go very far inland to come to Philippi. And as soon as they got there to Philippi, loosing therefore from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. Okay? They bounce along the shore a little bit, and then they go inland, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, all right, they're doing the same thing. They're looking for a synagogue where there are people that at least believe in the true God. They believe in the history of the Lord revealing himself to the Jewish people. They went, and on the Sabbath, they went out of the city. Whoa, wait a minute. On the Sabbath, they went out of the city by the rivers. They're not in the Sabbath here. They went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither. What's happening here? We got a women's prayer meeting. Maybe a little woman's Bible study going on. But at least there was a prayer meeting. There, women would come out of the city of Philippi. They had a certain place by the riverside that they gathered. And apparently it was mostly women. And there was a woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now I looked for Thyatira. It's not anywhere near there. She's apparently there doing business. She's selling some of her purple cloth that she was a maker and a seller of. Thyatira, by the way, where she came from, is one of the seven cities listed in the book of Revelation. She's from a different place. So she's here on business, purple seller, which worship God. They heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, now listen to this. She was baptized and her household. Brethren, when you come to the Lord, you should pray for your whole household to come in. I don't know what her household was made up of, whether she had a husband or not. She had children. She had maybe servants living with her and working with her. She besought us, saying, now she's baptized. They're by a river. They must have taken her right down to the shore of the river and baptized her right away when she said, yes, I'm a believer. Now remember, Paul is preaching Jesus now. He's not preaching Moses anymore. He's preaching Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Amen? The covenant that we have of the blood, that we too will be raised, amen, and brought into the kingdom of God. All right? If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Boy, she's not wasting any time. She's getting right to it. Come on. I want you guys to come and stay with us. Don't go back into the city to a hotel or somewhere. Stay with me. Amen. If you've judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Boy, this is a woman given to hospitality. She's ready to take on at least four new people. Does she have room for them? She must have. Come and stay in my house. Amen? Now, another problem comes along. Okay? And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. Was that true or was that not true? True. Factually, it was true. Was it the truth? Was it the truth?
No.
No. Why? It because was true, but it was not the truth.
The source is not the true source.
In other words, it was by an unclean spirit.
Yeah.
If an unclean spirit gets up in your meeting and starts reading from the book of Psalms, it might be true, but not the truth. It's coming from an unclean spirit. You know, the devil knows how to quote the Bible. Did you know that? But he's not quoting it to bring you to the truth. He's quoting it to try to deceive you in some other manner, to bring deception. So this girl, you could say, well, this is good advertising. You know, we don't have to put a notice in the newspaper. We don't have to put signs up that great prophet and great apostle are in the city. Let this girl do it for us. No. So they had to come to discernment to know that there was something wrong. What the girl was saying was factual. It was the fact. That's why they were there. But it was not the truth. And they had to come to a discernment of that. It kind of reminds me of the thing we were talking about at the beginning of the meeting, isn't it? Some of the things might have been true. There might have been a guy that had some kind of a miracle. But the way they were doing it with AI was not of the right spirit. And probably a lot of it wasn't true. Okay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Well, whatever, we read that. And this did she many days. Paul put up with it for quite a while. I think Paul was having a problem discerning what's going on. He put up with it. Well, we got some advertisement here. The thing began to bother them. It began to bother Paul. Paul began to sense the spirit of what this girl was doing. He began to sense that there was a spirit of divination. You know, I've heard so-called prophecy that didn't come in the true spirit. It came from divination. Have you ever heard? Rita, have you ever heard a word that came from divination?
I can't
point it out, but I'm sure you have. Yeah. All right, so we're talking about discernment now and deception. And Paul, being grieved, greatly annoyed. This just doesn't feel right. There's something wrong with this girl. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit. Now, he's addressing the spirit, not the girl. He's addressing the unclean spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. So, you've got to have authority, exousia, in order to put out unclean spirits. We need that, brethren. Amen. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Everybody gathers in the marketplace. You know, we don't have those kind of marketplaces in America. Although we have big malls, I guess. We have big Walmarts and places like that. But you go to some of these other countries, and you have certain areas of the city where they bring their goods out to sell. Anybody has anything to sell, they come out. We found some of those in Ukraine, you know, all kinds of things, market. You say to the people that you're with, Well, I'd like to find a such and such. Oh, come on, let's go to the marketplace. And there's all kinds of booths there, big crowds of people, politicians might be there. And they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. What happened is they took away their little slave girl using divination, getting money from people. Hey, come on, we got a little fortune teller here. She'll tell you what's going on. Okay. They brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Yeah, we're Romans, and these Jews are bringing things in here. And the multitude rose up together against them. This is another spirit, an unclean spirit. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Boy, what kind of magistrates did they have here? No order of law, nothing, just mob rule. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. In other words, the charge that they gave this jailer was, look, buddy, you let them go and you're a dead man. I mean, really keep these guys. These are not just petty pickpocket thieves. These are serious criminals. Lock them up good. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, way deep into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. All right, here, question is, how did they get to the position that they were in? I don't know who all was included in this. Was Luke thrown in there with them? Was Timothy thrown in there with them? We know that at least Paul and Silas were there. Maybe Luke and Timothy got out of it, but Paul and Silas did not get out of it. What would you do now if you were Paul and Silas and all these things had happened to them before you got there? In other words, you'd been part of that little conflict with Barnabas and John Mark. That weighed on your mind, that weighed on your conscience. Oh my goodness, did we do wrong there in not taking them? Did we do wrong in our little quarrel with them? Did we miss the call, that dream that Paul had? Was that really of the Lord? I mean, come on. If the Lord sent us, wouldn't we have good success here? Why would the Lord send us over here and then throw us in prison and have us beat up and beaten and locked up in locks? Could they have been questioning? I might have in my natural mind. I thought God sent us here. Come, man, we are in deep trouble. I don't know the laws of this place. They could bring us out of here and have a shot tomorrow, for all I know. And then that'll be the end of our ministry. Oh, man. Silas, come on, I thought you had discernment. Yeah, well, Paul, you're the one that had the dream. Dumb dream of yours. Look what it got us into. You know, the Lord can't be blessing this. We've got to go back to Barnabas. We've got to make this right, or we're not on the Lord's side. We're not getting any favor of the Lord. Would you be doing that? Come on now, let's talk about where they are. First of all, They ripped their clothes off. They took rods. There were special men whose special job was to beat people. These are called sergeants. And the real word for the sergeants is they were rod bearers. These are the men that carried the rod, and when somebody was sentenced to get a beating, they would whack them on the back with their clothes off. And I mean, it would cut the skin. Do you know there are still countries that do that? Where do they do that? It's in Asia. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. Where they sentence people to be beaten. Oh, what is that little, where the tourists like to go, and then if they catch them with drugs, or they sentence them to so many lashes. Come on, don't you guys?
Singapore.
Where is it?
Singapore. There was a man
there. Oh, yeah. Singapore. A long time ago. Did you say a long time ago?
Yeah, I remember like 10 years ago, a big story in the news about a guy that got like an excessive amount of lashings or something. It was in the news.
I think they still do it, Jer. Yeah, Singapore. And I think there's other places that do it too in that region. Singapore, they sentence you to so many lashes. And sometimes they would say, well, 40 lashes, but he can't take it all at once. So give him 20 today, let him recover a little bit, then give him a few more, let him recover, give him the rest of them. That's his full sentence. Yeah, they catch you with drugs in some of these places. That's what's going to happen to you. So this is what they did.
Needless to say, Singapore does not have a drug problem.
Yeah. Yeah, needless to say, the reputation is there. All right, so Philippi was the ancient Singapore, okay? And now they put their feet in stocks. You know what that means? They sit. And their feet are locked up in wooden stocks. And they're going to leave them that way all night. For how long? Consider the practicality now of being locked in stocks. No food. You can't relieve yourself. If you do, they're just a mess. And in this occasion, I mean, that beating on your back, that's got to be very painful. I mean, even if they could lean back, I don't think they can even lean back. There's nothing to lean back to. If they could lean back, they'd be putting the wounds of their back against something that's probably infectious. Who knows? And in this occasion, Paul and Silas, well, praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that we have this privilege of suffering. Oh, Lord, I'm thinking about the way they treated you there on the cross, the way they beat you there before they put you up on the cross. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we can partake with you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then they began to sing. What was that song again that you started off with, Rita?
We stand and rejoice in the hope of the Lord.
Come over here. Come over here. I want them.
Found in Romans chapter 5. It's found in Romans chapter 5. We stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed.
Sing the first line of that, would you?
Oh, my voice is gone. We stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and this hope makes us not ashamed.
Okay, something like that. Instead of complaining, which I used to do, instead of complaining, they heard the word. And you know, Paul is the one that wrote that in all things we should give thanks. And for all things we should give thanks. And you know what? The day that I practiced that, I got a miracle. And they were praying and singing, it says, at midnight, and the prisoners heard them. I read that in the Amplified, and it says, and the prisoners listened to them. The prisoners weren't just putting up with it. The prisoners were listening. There were other prisoners there. They said, hey, what's going on over there? What's going on? These guys just been beaten up terrible. And now they're singing and praising God. Who is this God that they're singing about? And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. My goodness, the power of God. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Don't you think God can shake the foundations of your prison? Whatever your prison is. Amen? And immediately, all the doors... The doors where the other prisoners were too. All the doors were loosed and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, his house must have been next door, amen, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Why was he doing this? Because the penalty of letting prisoners get loose means that you're going to be killed. They're going to kill you. We gave you a job. You didn't do it. You're dead. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Here's the guard bowing down to the prisoners, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's a man asking for, he's hearing, he must have been hearing some of that praise as well when the ground is shaking. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. There it is again. First it was Lydia's whole house. Now it's the prisoner's whole household. Amen. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Somebody giving a little medical care to them now. And was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Man, they believed in baptism in those days. I mean, right now, this hour, in the night. Take them down to the river right away and baptize them. Get this thing settled. Get it sealed. Get them in the kingdom of God. I think we delay too long in our baptism a lot of times. They went right after it in those days. Amen. And when he had besought them into his house, they set meat before them, and rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. My, what a change in that man's house. Wow. And he's feeding the prisoners. They hadn't been fed. They were just beaten and thrown in there. Amen. Well, the long and short of it is, I'll just kind of tell the story. The next day, the magistrates sent word by the sergeants. This is the guys that beat him. The sergeants, they were the rod bearers, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go now. Therefore, you can go in peace. And Paul said, no, that's not going to happen. They can come here personally. We are Romans. They did this to us without trial, without being sentenced, and with mob rule, they did it. Now, they can come and they can apologize to us. And of course, these guys were trembling and they were fearful what they did to Romans. Paul said he was Roman, you know. So finally, they left town. All right. A couple verses that I want to read. Psalms, how did all this shaking of the prison, what was there about that song of praise and glorifying God? What kind of power was all this? Let me read you a verse, and you're gonna give me a lot more of them probably. But here's a good one. The last, second to the last chapter in the book of Psalms, it's 149. And starting in verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Well, it wasn't a nice bed that they had. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. So this praise is a weapon, a two-edged sword, amen, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings in chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Just a couple more. Hebrews chapter 4. Just one verse. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm getting there. Oh, here it is. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. That's the word of God. Now, one other verse in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, the first chapter, and this is Israel now facing the battle. This is after Joshua. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. The word Judah meant praise. Praise shall go first. So I think I've said what there is to say, and I'm going to turn off the recording.